Fled Brikrend, the Feast of Brikriu. Chapter 5. Once more, the hall became a babble of words, the women lauding their men. Then essayed Conall and Logaire and Cuchulain to stir up dissension. Shenka, son of Ailill, got up and shook his scepter. To him the Altonians gave ear. And then, to restrain the ladies, he made speech. I restrain ye, ladies of Ulster, noble in name and in glory. Cease ye your words of contention, lest the mien of menfolk be paler, in keenness of conflict striving, amid vainglorious combat. Through guile of women, meseemeth, men's shields are wont to be splintered. In phrase, the hosts of the heroes are oft contending in anger. To women's whims it is owing this use and wont among menfolk. They bruise what there's no upbinding, and attack what they have not attained to. Heroines gallant and glorious, and noble ones, I restrain ye. Then Emer spake, and made answer. Fitting for me, meseemeth, to speak as the wife of a hero, who combineth in natural union graces of mind and of body, since ever his teaching was finished, and learning to him came easy. None will be found who will equal his age, his growth, and his splendor, of a line that is long descended. He speaketh with grace and with order. A brave and a valiant hero, like a fury he fights in the tumult. Dexterous of aim, and so agile, and quick and sure at the hunting. And find ye a man among menfolk, a mould that may match with Cuchulain. Sooth, lady, quoth Conall the Victorious, let that famous fellow come here, that we may inquire of him. No, quoth Cuchulain, I am today weary and done up. I will not hold a duel till after I have had food and sleep. In sooth, that really was so, inasmuch as it was the day on which he had fallen in with his steed, the Grey of Macha, by the side of the Grey Lynn at Sleeve Fuet. On its having come out of the lock, Cuchulain crept up to it and put his two hands around the steed's neck till they twain got a wrestling. And on that wise they made a circuit of Erin, until on that night Cuchulain with his steed came to Emain. He got the black sanglen in likewise from Loch Dubh Senglen. It was then Cuchulain spake thus. Today have the Grey and I visited the great plains of Erin, namely Bregia of Meath, the seashore march of Murthemni Macha, Moy Medva, Curec Cletec Kerna, Lea of Lin Lacarn, Fea Femin Fergna, Uras Thomnand, Roswargne, Eo. And to sleep and to eat it liketh me better than everything. By the god of my folk, I swear 'twould be but fun and frolic for me to fight a duel, had I my fill of food and of sleep. Well, said Brikriu, this has lasted long enough. The feast of Brikriu has to be celebrated. Let food and ale be got at once, and let the women's warfare be put a stop to till the feast is over. This was done, and it was a pleasant time for them, till the end of 3 days and 3 nights. Chapter 6. Again it was their hap to quarrel about the champion's portion. Conchobar, with the nobles of Ulster, interposed with the view of settling upon the adjudication of the heroes. Go to Curoy MacDiary, the man who will undertake to intervene, quoth Conchobar. It was then he spake, Entreat ye of him the hardy, in the rede which he dealeth for all men, Curoy MacDiary surpasseth, and true the judgment he giveth. He is fair, not given to falsehood, but good, and a lover of justice, noble in mind, and a guest friend, skilful of hand like a hero, and like to a high king in leading. He will adjudge ye truly. To ask him demandeth courage. Chapter 7. "I accept that, then," quoth Cuchulain. "I allow it, then," said quoth Logaire. "Let us go, then," quoth Conall the Victorious. "Let horses be brought us, and thy chariot yoked, O Conall," quoth Cuchulain.
"Woe is me," cried Conall.
"Everyone," quoth Cuchulain, "knows well the clumsiness of thy horses, and the unsteadiness of thy going and of thy turnout. Thy chariot's movement is most heavy. Each of the two wheels raiseth turf every way thy big chariot careers, so that for the space of a year there is a well-marked track easily recognized by the warriors of Ulster."
"Dost thou hear that, Logaire?" said Conall.
"Woe is me," quoth Logaire, "but I am not to blame or to reproach. I am nimble at crossing fords, and more, to breast the storm of spears, outstripping the warriors of Ulster. Put not on me the precedence of kings, till I practice faring before kings and champions, against single chariots in strait and difficult places, in woods and on confines, till the champion of a single chariot essay not to career before me." Thereupon Logaire had his chariot yoked, and he leapt therein. He drove over the plain of the Two Forks, over the Gap of the Watch, over the ford of Carpat Fergus, over the ford of the Morrigan, to the Rowan Meadow of the Two Oxen in the Fuse of Armagh, by the Meeting of the Four Ways past Dundalk, across Mag Slicac, westward to the slope of Brigia. A dim, dark, heavy mist overtook him, confusing him in such wise that it was impossible for him to fare farther on the way. "Let us stay here," quoth Logaire to his charioteer, "until it clears up." Logaire alighted from his chariot, and his gilly put the horses into the meadow that was near at hand. While there, the gilly saw a huge giant approaching him. Not beautiful his appearance, broad of shoulder and fat of mouth, with sack eyes and a bristly face, ugly, wrinkled, with bushy eyebrows, hideous and horrible and strong, stubborn, violent, and haughty, fat and puffing, with big sinews and strong forearm, bold and audacious and uncouth. A shorn black patch of hair on him, a dun covering about him, a tunic over it to the ball of his rump. On his feet, old tattered brogues. On his back, a ponderous club, like unto the wheel shaft of a mill.
"Whose horses are these, Gilly?" he asked, as he gazed furiously at him.
"The horses of Logaire the Triumphant."
"Yes, a fine fellow he."
And as he thus spake, he brought down his club on the gilly, and gave him a blow from top to toe. The gilly gave a cry, whereupon Logaire came up.
"What is this you are doing to the lad?" asked Logaire. "'Tis by way of penalty for damage to the meadow," quoth the giant. "I will come myself, then," quoth Logaire. They struggled together.
Logaire anon fled until he reached Emon, after having left his horses and gilly and arms. Not long after, Conall the Victorious took the same way and arrived at the plain where the Druidical mist had overtaken Logaire. The like hideous black dark cloud overtook Conall the Victorious, so that he was unable to see either heaven or earth. Conall thereon leapt out, and the gillies unharnessed the horses in the same meadow. Not long thereafter he saw the same giant coming towards him. He asked him whose servant he was.
"I am servant to Conall the Victorious," he quoth.
"A good man he," quoth the giant, as he raised his hands till they gave a blow to the gilly from top to toe.
The fellow yelled. Anon came Conall. He and the giant got to close quarters. Stronger were the wrestling turns of the giant. Conall fled as Logaire had done, having left behind his charioteer and his horses, and came to Emain. Cuchulain then went by the same way, till he came to the same stead. The like dark mist overtook him as fell upon the twain preceding. Cuchulain sprang down, and Leg brought the horses into the meadow. He had not long to wait till he saw the same man coming toward him. The giant asked him whose servant he was. "Companion to Cuchulain."
"A good man he," quoth the giant, plying him with the club.
Leg yelled. Anon Cuchulain arrived. He and the giant came to close quarters, and either pounded the other. The giant got worsted. He forfeited horses and charioteer, and Cuchulain brought along with him his fellows' horses, charioteers, and accoutrements, till he reached Emain in triumph. He gave them to their rightful owners.
"Thine is the champion's portion," quoth Bricriu to Cuchulain. "Well I wot from your deeds ye are not a whit on a par with Cuchulain."
"Not true, Bricriu," quoth they, "for we know that it is one of his friends from Faerie that came to him to play us mischief and deal with us perforce as to the championship. We shall not forgo our claim on that account." The men of Ulster, with Conchobar and Fergus, failed to effect a settlement. They sent them either to go to Curoy MacDiarmid, or else to go to Cruachan, to Ailill, and to Meath. End of chapter 7.